Line.
Loveline is meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. This is Loveline.
Loveline.
With Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Almost. It's Dr. Drew anyway. It is, in fact, Loveline. The phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. And we are having a few technical problems, so I'm going to ask you guys to bear with us. Anderson will be part of the show tonight because he's going to be the one potting up the calls. And some of the calls I may not even be able to see. Yes, of course. The nimble-fingered one. And tonight I have the pleasure of joining me, of introducing Matt Money Smith.
Hello. Thank you, Drew. How are you? I'm very good.
And those of you that are not from the Southern California area may not know Money. He is the sports announcer from the morning show team here at the Mothership KROQ in Los Angeles. He's also the music director here, which I've got a million questions about, really. That must be an interesting job.
It's a fascinating job.
And he has a long-standing relationship with this show in that he used to bring, used to be a record wrangler, as we used to call him.
Right.
Would bring band wrangler, would bring bands in here back even before Adam was here. So you've actually been with the show longer than Adam.
We had one of those historic band Loveline moments.
Hagfish. How do you describe that? People, because the show was not going around the country at that point. It was one of those things where, let's put it this way, there was something that was said on that show that I've repeated to my male sons. And when they giggle and laugh, not laugh, when they just go crazy, berserk, dying every time they fart, one of the guys of Hagfish said, well, what's not funny about a fart? It comes out of your ass, it smells funny, and it sounds funny. What's not funny about that? Okay, there you go.
The punk rock guys, man, they loved Loveline more than anything. And these guys in Hagfish, they never got to be a massive band. But there were two brothers in the band, and I used to have to go around the road with these bands and take them to different stations, do interviews, and all that sort of thing. And the two brothers would show up places naked. I would say, hey, can we meet at the bar at 4 o'clock? We're going to get in a van and go to the station for an interview. No problem. So you'd be standing at the bar, and these two guys would walk in completely naked. We're ready to go.
They remind me of the Bloodhound Gang, too. They were kind
very
of like
similar.
That's just like going nuts. Now, as the music director, do you get a sense of what this business is like? In other words, has the relationship between radio and music changed a lot in the last few years?
I think so. I think a little.
People pay to get their songs on the radio?
No. At least not here. I think having been a record wrangler, there are a number of stations across the country. I'm sure some that Loveline are broadcast on that getting money from record companies, whether it be legitimate or not, that's part of their budget.
They find a way.
They find a way. And I don't know if they look at it as payola because it's not going into employees' pockets. A lot of times it's going into radio station budget. Huh. So it's almost like their income for the year, and they depend on some of that money to support the airplay.
The station where we originate is K-Rock in Los Angeles, and it is probably the most important or powerful music radio station in the country in terms of...
Possibly in the world.
Establishing new music. And you sit there making those decisions about whose bands are going to live and whose are going to die, basically.
Yeah, I'm part of that... that group.
You like that?
I do. It's fun. I mean, especially having been around music my whole life. You know, I grew up, I went to my first punk rock show when I was in seventh grade.
Wow.
So it's something that's been a part of my life forever. And to be in that position where, you know, it's just kind of cool to get a CD in the mail, to open it up, to listen to it and say, you know what, that's a great song. I'm going to play it for some people. If everyone feels the same way I do, it gets on the air.
It's that simple.
People
think it's some sort of... They get paranoid sort of ideation about how it's this elaborate process where you have to know somebody and whatever.
Right. And even more so now than ever before, bands are doing it on their own. They're posting things on the web. Yeah. They're using, you know, vehicles like MySpace to post their music. And we'll get emails and we'll get promoted on bands that say, hey, they've had, you know, 250,000 downloads for MySpace. And when they come to town, they sell 1,500 tickets. You need to pay attention to this band. Right. Whereas before, I think it was more a record company or manager band relationship with the radio station.
Uh-huh.
And now kids are finding music in different ways and using different vehicles. So I think more than ever, people that work on music radio stations have to pay attention to different ways the bands are getting exposed.
And now Money's going to be leaving K-Rock and joining the Lakers radio broadcast team.
Yes.
And he is a sports expert.
I guess
aficionado.
So. I've been involved in sports for a long time.
In addition to the music, he does the sports and the morning show here in Los Angeles. And if you have questions, just the way you ask Adam Wood questions or construction questions, you can ask Money sports questions.
Sure.
And
or
try
music
to stump
questions.
Him. Try to stump him. I think it'd be great. But let's take some calls. And have you always wanted to do this show?
Always. Because, so, you know, I've brought all these bands here.
I know, for
and
years.
A lot of times the bands will just sit on their hands and they'll be quiet, and I would sit in the other room and watch them and go, man, if I could just be in there, I'd have so much more fun than they are
all right
here now.
You. This is your chance. All right, Anderson, line one. Here we go. This is Slater?
Yes.
19. What's up?
Last weekend, I was engaging in anal sex with my boyfriend. And after I came, I experienced a shortness of breath.
Liar, whore, and you know it.
Started hyperventilating, and I passed out on my bed.
Okay.
What was going on with that?
Did you not see a doctor because of it?
I'm sorry?
Did you not go see a doctor?
No, I don't have medical insurance, so I didn't.
How long were you out for?
I'm sorry?
How long were you unconscious for?
I don't remember because I don't remember the whole experience in the shower.
I thought it was in the bed.
No, we were engaging in anal sex in the shower, and I was the top. And after I came, I had experienced shortness of breath and just passed out on my bed because I got out of the shower.
So he wasn't the receptive partner.
Is passed out another word for fall asleep? Did you just happen to fall asleep?
No, I mean, I was like hyperventilating.
Well, hyperventilation can make you pass out just from having sort of vagal reaction. Why you were hyperventilating? Were you hyperventilating or were you short of breath?
No, I was like hyperventilating, like you know.
Why?
I don't know. That's why I called you.
Did you feel short of breath?
Shortness of breath, and I was just hyperventilating after I ejaculated.
Stop saying hyperventilation. That's just describing breathing fast. My question is, did you experience shortness of breath, and that's why you breathe fast?
I guess so, yeah.
Okay. You need to see a doctor about this. It's possible. Okay. You can put this on hold, Anderson. It's possible it's a cardiac arrhythmia. You were in a shower. You might have had low blood pressure transiently. But it's the most serious thing that we'd be concerned about would be a cardiac rhythm disturbance, and various kinds of rhythm problems can cause this sort of thing. It needs to be looked into. All right.
Is that a sex thing or just a health thing?
It's just a health thing.
Right.
And he was in a shower, and that can drop the pressure more. And after orgasm, something can drop even better. And the activity he was engaged in just makes me drop my pressure
sure.
a bit. So
right there with
just
you.
Just saying.
Good start.
Line three, Chelsea, 13. Ooh. Chelsea?
Yeah.
What's going on there?
Well, me and my boyfriend, we've been dating for about 4 months now.
You're 13?
Yes.
How old's your boyfriend?
He's 13 also.
All right.
And I haven't seen him in 2 months. He lives an hour away from me.
Yeah.
And he's been pressuring me into having sex, and I'm not sure if I should. We've only been dating for like 4 months, and I am only
15. Money? Here's your big chance. This is where you can do better than Hagfish.
Yes, right? Well, let's see. At 13, I think I was trading baseball cards with the kids up and down the street, so I don't have a whole lot of experience with this. I would just recommend against it. I mean, I think the first time I had sex, I was in my mid-teens. And that was still way young. I was not ready for what happened and the emotions that went with it. And I was a guy, and I think we get affected differently than women do or young girls.
Not as profoundly.
Pansy.
Yeah, well, just saying. Yeah, Chelsea, it's a horrible idea. I've never met a woman. For instance, I've never met a woman who didn't wish she'd waited longer.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't, in other words,
right.
or that she'd waited too long. And every woman I've ever spoken to who lost their virginity under 15, had tremendous regrets about it, and it had a very powerful impact on them that they couldn't really handle. So I know your boyfriend's pressuring you. That's kind of his job. His biology dictates that. It makes him that way. Doesn't mean you have to cave into it. It doesn't mean if you don't cave into it, he's going to somehow leave you.
Yeah, and he's always saying, like, oh, well, if you'd love me, you'd really do it. And
yeah, he's just manipulating him. Come on.
Do you guys have a song?
What?
Do you have a song? Does he have a song for you that he plays, like, over the phone since you live so far apart?
No, not really, no.
Wow, then he's not worth it.
All right, fair enough. All right, Chelsea, good luck, okay?
All right, thank you.
All right, this now is line two is Stephanie, 21. Stephanie? Stephanie,
hello,
call her,
Rachel.
Go. What is it?
Are you there?
We're here.
Oh, okay, hi. I love the show. I just wanted to let y'all know that. I was wondering, I have a question. Me and my boyfriend have been together for probably about 2.5 years now. And in the beginning, our sex life was incredible. But here in the last 6 months or so, his sex drive and mine have completely, you know, mine is way higher than his. And I'm wondering if that has something to do with his age and our age difference.
Oh, 30 is, he's just over, he's waiting to die at 30. I mean, the guys after 30 just do not want to have sex ever.
No, I'm just wondering, I mean, because, you know, I'm 21, I'm going to be 22 here shortly, and I mean...
Well, what is it he's wanting to do?
Okay, well, here lately we've been experimenting with the anal thing, and I'm not really comfortable with all that. So,
all right,
he's
that's
been
fine.
Real good with it, though.
And that's really not what I was asking. I mean, what is his rhythm? What is he asking for? How often would he like to have sex?
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, I guess maybe every other day, and I'm like 2 or 3 times a day.
Well, he is above normal, and you are way above normal. Okay. In the sort of pathology range, in the, oh my goodness, Stephanie's either bipolar or was sexually abused when she was younger.
Oh, no.
So.
Well, I wasn't sexually abused, I know that, but. Mm-hmm.
What's the story with sex drives? Because you always hear that women hit theirs in their mid, like early 30s, and men are in the teens.
Men at 18 years old are in a testosterone storm. Their body is being exposed to this hormone for the first time, and they are producing semen at the highest rate they will ever in their whole life. They have a drive towards intercourse and orgasm that's the highest in their entire life, and it's intense. It's like a drug. It's like completely saturating their system and prioritizing, taking over their thinking and what their, you know, everything is about that. For women, testosterone affects their sex drive, but they have very low levels of that circulating around until they're well into their 40s. So around 20. You know, estrogen affects more something we call receptivity. They can have a receiving experience and feel connected. And if you hear women talk about, you know, why they were interested in having sex in their 20s, it's a totally different set of priorities than for men. Men, it's because they're driven, they have to. Women, it's because, well, I want to feel accepted, I want him to like me, and I want to outcompete my friend. I mean, things that just seem, you can't even, like, understand it as a male.
Right. So is there a chemical imbalance in a girl like this that has that sort of drive?
If she has a drive that's there can be a normal spectrum of once a day kind of thing, but 3 times a day in a 21-year-old, it's got to be, you're into something.
And she would kill that man.
Well, it's not that so much as that's somebody who they used to call nymphomaniac because they could never seem to be satisfied. There's always need more, more, more. And pretty much you can guarantee some either bipolarity or some kind of an abuse situation. So, Stephanie, what happened?
What happened to
someone? Did anybody ever... Is your dad still around?
Uh-huh.
And he lives with you?
Yeah, me, my father, and my boyfriend all live together.
Where's your mom? Here we go.
With her husband.
And how come you're not with them?
Oh, I don't know. I just don't care for their lifestyle.
And what is wrong with their lifestyle?
I don't know. He goes to the bars quite often and, you know.
All right. And what about her? So he's an alcoholic. And mom?
Well, my father's an alcoholic as well.
Okay, so you're raised around alcoholism. Are you an alcoholic?
I tend to drink a little bit more than I should, yeah.
Do you do any other drugs?
No, I don't.
And is there bipolar illness in your family? Manic depression?
No.
And when your folks or the people all around you were drinking, did they ever do any unpleasant things with you or to you?
No.
Never.
Not at all. Never.
No one ever hit you?
No, no one ever hit me. I mean, I've got into arguments and fights and screaming matches with, you know, my parents when I was younger. I mean, and, you know, pushes and, you know, stuff like that, but it was never, you know, something that they had to call the cops for or anything like that.
Did anybody ever hit you?
No. My father did. My father hit me.
All right. Once. That's physical abuse, okay? And that changes how your brain develops. And that changes how you relate to men. And I bet there, if you really think about it, you'll find a little more here, too, than just an occasional hit. Some other things happen. And that's what sets this drive a-rolling. And you put that together with the addiction chemistry, the addiction genetics, and I bet you there's some childhood bipolar stuff here, too. And you have somebody now who becomes hypersexual. And that same person, you can put her on hold, Anderson, same person will also kind of shut down at times, too, where they become completely non-sexual. And this guy, who's already keeping up every other day, he's doing a pretty good, you know, pretty good pace himself, gets a little freaked out by that. Men kind of pick up that this is like an acting out. It's some sort of aggression. It's in a pathology. It's like, oh, it doesn't feel right. It doesn't feel like a relationship. It feels like somebody using me for something.
Is that weird, too? I mean, when she said her boyfriend, she and her dad live in the same house and they have sex every other day, that's got to be a weird dynamic.
This is the banjo music was appropriate.
Everything.
This is more than just subtle problems. This is big-time stuff going on here. And Stephanie's.
I like how you pushed her, too, man. You just went right
at
it.
Because there's no way that it's not there. There's no way. And I pretty much guarantee that some inappropriate touching or sexual abuse, something in the past. Or maybe we find pornography. Let me talk to Stephanie again real quick. Hey, Stephanie. Stephanie?
Hello.
Hey, one of your alcoholic dads, the stepdad or the dad, did they used to leave a lot of pornography out laying around?
No.
You were never exposed to that sort of thing when you were a kid?
Well, I mean, yeah, when my brother, we'd run around and find dad's magazines hid under his bed. My brother's like, hey, check this out.
And how old were you when you were exposed to that stuff?
I don't know, probably about 13.
Nothing earlier? 8, 9, 10?
Say about 12, 13.
12. So, Stephanie, you are in massive denial about what's going on in your family. Keep the banjo going.
That's appropriate.
It's appropriate. It may kind of shake her free a little bit from this denial she's in. This is some heavy stuff going on, and it's having an effect on you. Now, I'm not saying you're a bad person, but you're wondering why your relationship is kind of pushing back a little bit. He sees this energy. It feels wrong to him. It feels not wrong in the sense that it's improper, but wrong in the sense that it's an acting out. And freaks guys out. They kind of go into hiding. And the fact that he's keeping up three, four times a week, it's pretty good.
He's a champ.
Champ.
Have you ever been to San Antonio? I know we're playing the...
Yeah, I like San Antonio.
I understand what you're saying. I do.
All right, San Antonio is a really nice town. The Riverwalk there.
Well, that's the thing about San Antonio that drives me crazy. It's kind of a backwoods town, but when you ask people about it, they're love San Antonio. Well, how come? That Riverwalk. It's one strip in the entire town, but it has caused people to like San Antonio.
But you go there expecting nothing. You expect the Alamo, and you find this wonderful strip of restaurants, people hanging out.
Bars, and it's a party. Cool, yeah. But outside of that, of a mile strip, nothing.
By the way, it's one of the, if not the, one of the most... sort of the largest area cities in the country. It covers
the
most area, but you only focus on that little quarter mile.
It's
just a quarter mile. It's 800 yards.
And everyone says the same. It drives me nuts. I'm like, well, San Antonio isn't great. Riverwalk could be in Corpus Christi, and then Corpus Christi would be great, and San Antonio would suck.
But nice people.
Well, Texas in general, nice I think, people, are very nice people.
All right, let's talk to Zachariah, line 4. Zachariah.
Hi, Dr. Drew.
Hey, man.
Hi, radio guy.
Hey.
Money.
Well, the reason I'm calling is because I picked up this prostitute and took her to a motel room and stuff.
Yeah.
And when she took off her clothes, I saw these little brown spots on her body. They look like bruises and stuff. But when I asked her, she told me there were some from moving or something. But I was just wondering if that's some sort of symptoms from some sort of STD or something.
Did he still have sex with her?
Did you have sex anyway?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, any good 21-year-old. Well, if you're things that are looking, you're seeing things on the skin, like on her limbs?
Like on her arm, her body, and on her inner thigh. She had this patched up and stuff. So I asked her what was that. She said that was a spider bite or something, and they had to cut it out and get the pus out, and I don't know what it was.
What would it have taken for him not to sleep with her, I wonder?
What
would she have to, have a second head growing off?
Beelzebub himself would have to popped out of that pussy spot. he would have emerged, and that might have slowed him down. Might not even stopped him.
You say pussy spot or pussy spot, Drew?
Pussy spot. Anderson, please.
Pus inside it.
All right, here's the deal. Those pus spots were injection sites where she was skin popping her drugs. Mm. And they get infected. They typically have in the thighs and buttock, that area. The purple spots, again, probably injecting. However, I don't know exactly what you saw. I worry that it could be something called Kaposi sarcoma, which is an HIV thing.
So, that's good. Good combination. Prostitute and source.
And a rare combo, prostitute and drug addict.
Sure.
Rare combo. So, Zachary, did you wear a condom?
Oh, yeah, I wore a condom.
I was going to say, please, God, tell me about a condom. Please, God.
Yeah, I did wear a condom. It just I made out with can HIV spread through the... saliva or something?
No, there's really not much you can get that way. Unless you have hepatitis B or something. Get your hepatitis B vaccine. Hey, cut this crap out, Zachariah. You're getting into areas. This is a dangerous path you're on. You're 21. You should be out dating.
You go to the bar, Zachariah?
No, just the thing is, I tell myself to quit, and then I usually drive around to find them, but this time I was driving around to go to a restaurant. It was closed, and I got really angry. And I saw her walking. I was like, you know what? I might as well go try to talk to her. Then right when she gets in the car, I cannot, start for me to say no, get out, and,
Well, maybe it's sexual addiction. Maybe you want to look into this a little bit. Are you doing any other drugs or alcohol?
I don't do drugs. I don't smoke. I don't drink. Cool. I don't do that stuff.
It just worries me. It's kind of got you to the point where, as Anderson said, nothing would stop you from doing this woman, even though she had clear evidence of illnesses.
Do you find pussy sores sexually attractive?
Do I find what?
He did that night. Dare you? How dare you, honey?
Wait, of course he made out. I've heard from friends who have slept with hookers that they don't make out.
Well, they don't like that. I think I saw that in Pretty Woman.
That's where I saw it.
No. Same difference, Pretty
Woman. Did you have sex?
Me?
With that woman?
He said he was making out with her.
I had sex with her, yeah.
And you made out with her?
Yeah. So for some reason, that's like, there's no, I mean, I can't enjoy sex without, you know, making out with the girl and stuff
suspicious.
For some reason.
Suspicious.
It's a suspicious call. But anyway, so be it.
I got to believe the prostitute scene in Bakersfield isn't that great either. Yeah, Vegas, not a bad prostitute scene, right?
I don't know. Can you tell me a story?
Well, I'm just saying, you know, you hear about the escorts. It's expensive.
Jimmy Kimmel's coming here tomorrow night. And was he on with you on the morning show?
No.
He was here, though, when you were here.
Oh, yes.
Did you guys ever go to Las Vegas together?
We did. We did bachelor parties in Las Vegas. We did we did Kevin's bachelor party and we did Lightning. So, yeah, we did quite a few guys in the show. Not a whole lot, to be honest. I think it was just a lot of drinking, the typical shows, but nothing outrageous, to be honest with you. The funny thing is in Vegas, they hand you these magazines, right? And if you've never been to Vegas, and you're supposed to call these numbers, and they have the picture of the girl, and they'll have her name under, let's say it's, you know, I don't know, Candy. And you say okay, well, Candy looks pretty good to me. We have a bachelor party going. We'd like her to come by. Fantastic. Candy doesn't show up.
Oh.
Two women that look nothing like Candy show up.
Of course.
And yeah. you have to engage in this conversation about how upset you are that Candy didn't show up, but it's taken 2 hours for these other two girls to get there, so you don't want to send them away because you don't know if it's going to take another 2 hours.
Oh,
and so you end up accepting a lesser product than is in the advertisement.
Oh, my.
And it costs a fortune. You know, it costs, you know, a couple $100 to get them to walk in the room, and then they're like, okay, now we need $40 to do this. You give them $40. It's almost like a 900 number for gambling, mm-hmm. where they say, I'm going to give you the Monday night football pick. All you got to do is call this number. It's absolutely free. And you call, and this person rattles on for 5 minutes before telling you anything. And, oh, and by the way, if you missed last week's scores, this happened last week, and now it's time to punch in your credit card. And that's what happens with these people in Vegas in these magazines. So I guess my suggestion would be, if you go to Vegas to get the prostitutes, just go to the Hard Rock. Look real dopey, like wear a t-shirt tucked into some jeans with a belt and some like Reebok sneakers that are all white, and you will be approached by women at the Circle Bar there endlessly.
Prostitutes.
I didn't say that. Allegedly.
Wow. Prostitutes. Interesting.
That's I actually put it to the test. I'm originally from Chicago, and my older brother came out with a group of people, and this older gentleman wasn't very attractive, was in his probably, I'd say, late 40s, and I said, I guarantee that one of these women will approach you. Here's kind of what I want you to do. You know, hang out, maybe count your chips a little bit. He had quite a bit of chips. And, of course, four or five absolutely gorgeous women approach and say, what are you doing? You know, where are you from? And can I buy you a drink? And next thing you know, it's upstairs and there's a guy and it's, you know, brokering a deal and it's crazy. And you know what's funny? I think they found a loophole. The escorts. They call themselves escorts and they make you pay them for their time with you. They want you to pay them $500 to hang out.
Huh.
And then they can choose whether or not they want to have sex with you. So the sex part was their choice.
So it's not part of the business transaction.
You paid them for their company. And they just happened to engage in some great conversation and wanted to have intercourse.
Wow.
That apparently is the way they're positioning this.
There's such a whole world that I feel so naive and know so little about.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I know it's there, but I don't
calling
really
know. Calling all nerds.
Yeah, I know. But I don't really.
It's everywhere.
The details and all are very mysterious to me.
Yeah, the Hard Rock. Have you ever been to the Hard Rock Casino?
Yeah, yeah.
Have you ever noticed the
40th birthday party there.
Well, see, you're a good-looking guy, though. Have you ever noticed that, like, women come up to you and just to say hi, and they happen to be dressed to the nines, and they're like, what are you doing?
Because I'm there, like, wire for kids or something.
Right.
So I never really.
You were there with your wife on your 40th birthday?
Yeah.
Completely unacceptable.
I don't mind. You and Kimmel live the life. I'm trying to have a family, be healthy.
You know what Kimmel and I did on the way to Vegas and Corolla for that matter?
Oh, of course.
For 4 hours, Blue Flame.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, Corolla was the one doing most of it.
He
can light a fart that licks his nose.
Yes. I mean, that's all we did, I'm telling you, probably
4 hours laughing your ass
yes.
off.
I don't know what it is about us men and these things.
Yeah, I know. It never gets old. It is, again, one of the distinctions between men and women, that whole scatological
thing.
That just whole thing that men find so funny when they're eight and never can let go of that.
I don't know. To this day.
Huh?
And now that I have kids.
Oh, you share it with them.
It's the best. It's the best.
All right, hang on a second, man. We got to take a break. Okay. It's Matt Smith, Money here on K-Rock, the mothership of Loveline Los Angeles. He does the sports announcing here. He's going to leave us for the Lakers radio broadcast team. This is his farewell tour. And his lifelong dream was to come on Loveline. So
it
we
was.
Thought we better grant him that dream. So kind of like make a wish. And this is Money's Make-A-Wish Foundation Tour. He's the music director here for a long time. If you have any questions about music or sports, he's happy to answer them. Tomorrow night, we have Jimmy Kimmel with Sarah Silverman. That will be interesting. But for the moment, we'll be taking your calls at 1-800-LOVE-191, and we will return after this.
Call 1-800-LOVE-191 to broadcast your problems to the public.
Love Line will be right back.
That's right, it's Love Line, 1-800-LOVE-191. Radio guys, one of our callers just pointed out, Matt Money Smith. He's been the music director here at K-Rock Mothership. He's also on the morning show as the sports announcer. He can take your questions on sports or music. That's what I'm saying. In the meantime, we're taking your calls. Let's go to line 6, Anderson, if we could. This is Erica 20.
Hello?
There you are.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi. Yeah, I was wondering why people don't like me. Like, they tend to like me.
They tend to what?
They like me, and then they don't like me. They, like, end up stabbing me in the back, particularly women.
Stabbing you in the back.
Well, that's not surprising.
Yeah, except you're 20. Women by 20 usually can negotiate some stable relationship.
Oh.
There's a lot of, you know, shunning and
catty.
Yeah, women are, no one is worse to women than women. They are just horrible to each other. I'm watching it with my daughter. I'm shocked.
You know what I discovered that? This is going to sound like a weird analogy, but do you remember when the Paris Hilton video came out?
Yep.
And everyone had to see it, right?
Mm-hmm.
The one thing, we're like, wow, how about that? You know, this woman, this poor girl in this video. And of course, you're like, wow, she's kind of good looking. And every single woman said the same thing. She gave terrible oral. Embarrassing. And I was like, that's a definition of why women are so damn catty.
Wow.
Of all the things to point out, they want to say, that's just a terrible job.
Well, it must have been the most obvious only thing they could get at. You know what I mean?
Right.
And
she looked good.
Yeah, right.
She was a champ and going for it.
And well, I think women, you know, the whole notion of a double standard between men and women, if a male has a lot, think about men and women that have sex. We were talking about that earlier, a girl that has lots of sex. Generally, if you look at young women that are having lots of sex, they tend to have very low self-esteem. And if you look at young men that are having lots of sex, they tend to have very high self-esteem.
Right.
And one of the contributors to that is this sort of double standard thing. And if you sociologists have gone out and studied the double standard, men are participate in creating the double standard and then totally let go of it. In other words, if they see a girl sort of acting out, they're like, oh, look at that. About 80% of them will go, well, I'd like to date her.
Right.
And
she's a slut, but
all right, I'd date her. 100% of the women go, oh, no, you can't do that. No. Oh, they go to their male friends and go, oh, no, she's a hoe. You can't get near her. They are the ones that shun the women and maintain the double standard.
It's amazing.
Isn't that crazy?
It is. But it doesn't surprise me. And it's funny, too. When you find a girl that you like hanging out with, you know what I always find is a common thing between them? They have a lot of guy friends.
Yeah.
They don't surround themselves with women. They enjoy the company of men as friends. By the way, we're going another tangent here. Can the platonic thing.
Yes.
Can women in, let's say, that are under, I don't know, between 15 and 30, can they have platonic relationships with men?
Let me tell you my story on this one. I'm not saying that men and women cannot be good friends, and I'm not saying they shouldn't be friends or be good friends. Nobody call in and say I said that. But I will say that when it comes to friendships between men and women of reproductive age, the reason the friendship starts is because somebody was attracted and the other person didn't respond. So somebody goes up to meet that person, they're super attracted. The other person, you know, responds to them but is not attracted back. So the person who's attracted sort of settles for friendville. Now, when the woman is the person who is not responded to, she can settle into a friendship and kind of handle it. Okay?
She can.
That becomes a friendship. She still will harbor a torch and things could all. I mean, it's motivated by the attraction. Really, and if he suddenly one day said, you know, I'm really attracted, oh, immediately
right.
It'd be romance. But the women can tolerate settling into a friendship. If the man is the one who's not being responded to, he goes into plan B, which is sort of creating a war room and having an action
it's
plan.
The courting phase.
And he is the best friend, and he's going to wait it out. He's like a lion waiting in the brush. I mean, men like women when they're injured. They like easy pickings. Women, it's the opposite. If somebody's injured or, you know, like a girlfriend just broken up with them, they're like, oh, she broke up with them? Oh, I'm not interested either. Forget it. Man is like a lion waiting in the brush. see that herd of buffalo going by, or that one with the broken leg in the back. That's right. The one they're going after. So this guy waits like a lion in the brush until that night when she broke up with her boyfriend, and my buddy Matt, he was such a good friend, and he was there for me, and I cried on his shoulder, and one thing led to another. Right. Are you kidding me? This guy's been planning that night for 2.5 years, waiting for that moment. Women have no idea that guys do that.
And I have tried to further that theory constantly, and women say, oh, no, we're beyond that. We're just friends. I'm like, no, let me explain something to you.
Yeah, you're beyond that.
If you gave an indicator that you were interested and made a sexual advancement towards him, he would be full force.
I don't even think you'd make the advance if you just dropped the defense. pouncing.
Thank you.
No, men are driven. And also, it's hard for women to really accept how men are. In fact, I've got a show on TV tonight. I forgot about this. The Discovery Health Channel, for those of you listening in the West, midnight, Discovery Health Channel, The Strictly Sex. We talk about a lot of this stuff on the show. And women, it's painful for them to really accept how men are. We're very simple, very lame. And they're always the same kind of response for women, too. When you sort of break through to them how men actually are. They're like, no, it can't be. No, oh, no.
Right.
It can't be that. No. Yeah, afraid so.
Yeah, I think I did that with my wife for a good, like, 3 months.
And did she finally, and she still married you?
Still, that's amazing. Yeah. But I got the war room.
Oh, 3 months of waiting.
Oh, yeah,
of course.
Well, I mean, you've met my wife. She's way too hot for me.
Yeah, she had a brain tumor or something?
No, she's a very smart girl, too. And it's kind of the whole package, which is why I have no business being with her. But I think it was a very carefully executed plan on my part.
So you're saying basically, for those young male listeners out there who have harbor a torch for somebody specific, what, they should give a 6-month plan and then give up? Or?
I think I had, I was willing to go probably 6 months. I think it ended up taking me about 3.5, 4 months.
Yeah.
But
the whole time.
Kids don't have that kind of commitment anymore. That's the thing that I've noticed. It's like you ask kids these things that have these girlfriends, and they don't have a place they go, you know, constantly. It's like, my gosh, I had all these things set up. Oh, yeah, we're going to go to the beach, you know, because I went to college right on the beach, so I would have these beach spots and these movies.
I have no doubt what you had is you had a little mock-up of the town, little figures, a big stick you could push them along with, and you flanked them over here.
Sure. All right, how old's your little sister? 8. I want her in the water. When we show up, I'm going to save her life. I mean, it was elaborate.
All right, here's a question from Money Online 2. Aaron, who's 22.
Hi, Drew. Hi, Money. Hey. Real quick, Money, I'm looking forward to Friday in the morning show, seeing you down there in Anaheim.
The Hooters, yes.
I had a quick question for you. I was wondering what your proudest moment on air is, having to do with sports and doing the sports show on Kevin and Bean for so long. What's your proudest moment?
Well, I have been very fortunate because we are at a station that is so popular in town, it becomes a destination for anything, for movie athletes, stars or athletes that need to promote something. I think, believe it or not, my proudest moment is probably, I'm a hockey guy. Not a lot of people are hockey guys, but there's something about
Southern
hockey.
Southern California, it's huge.
Yeah, very dear to me. It's not big here at all, but I was the first person ever to ride the Zamboni at Staples Center when they decided to let fans sit on the Zamboni machine. And it's kind of one of those things, if you're a hockey guy, the Zamboni just has this mystique to it. It's this machine, if you don't know what it is, if you don't follow hockey, it's a machine that essentially smooths out the ice. And it melts like the top, I don't know, 32nd of an inch to smooth it for the people that skate. And they added a seat. It's kind of the most ridiculous contraption ever. They add this seat that's like 20 feet off the ground, and you're just sitting there cruising around the ice. But it was just the coolest thing in the world for me that I was able to do. But that's, you know, there are things in life.
How about on the air, proudest moment? It's hard to think
the air.
I'll tell you what, Aaron, things kind of blur together.
Yeah, I mean, for 7 years.
Yeah, you're just doing it every day.
You do what you do. That's a tough call. I mean, we've talked to Shaq. We've had Kobe in, and you know.
Think about just what is coming to mind when they ask you.
I will say
like
this: I had to follow Jimmy Kimmel. Many people may not know this, but Jimmy Kimmel was the sports guy here at K-Rock, and I had the very tough task of following him because he was so funny and great at what he did. And the first thing that happened to me when I got on the air, I came on the air in October. It was 4 weeks into the football season, and I think my first day was a Friday. They said, "All right, give us your Super Bowl pick. Who do you like?" And this is 4 weeks in. The football season is 16 weeks long. I said, I'm going with Tennessee Titans and St. Louis Rams. And I was mocked endlessly because I didn't take the Giants or the Packers or the 49ers. And it ended up being a St. Louis-Tennessee Super Bowl. And from that point on, I had credibility in the sports world, which is so hard to come by.
Interesting.
So I think that was probably one of my better moments.
That's fun.
Yeah.
All right, Aaron, thanks for the question.
And we'll see you Friday.
That's right. Yeah.
A big party at the Hooters there.
Hooters at what, downtown Disney?
Anaheim.
What's in Anaheim? Yeah.
Real quick, I had another soccer accident, and my nut got all chewed up again, and I was wondering about prosthetics.
Wait a minute. What do you mean another soccer? Have you talked to us about a previous soccer accident?
Okay. I guess you guys don't remember. I'm the guy who had the soccer accident and called back and was the bogus call. But never mind now.
Okay.
Yeah, thanks, Drew. Thanks, okay, Mike. Buddy.
No problem.
I can't remember every bogus call. I apologize, Aaron. I'm just,
do you? Let me ask you this question about sports, because I played sports in high school, and we were talking about your sons, and you played sports as well. Is there something to the communal shower in kind of what it does to our brains? Because I was thinking about this the other day, and how we as men are obsessed with our size.
Yeah.
And when you get into a room, there's nothing gay about it. You're just taking a shower because you stink.
And
the way
check each other out.
And I think...
I think a lot of the stuff with the enlargements in that business is for other men.
Right.
Women do stuff for other women more than they do for men. But men, when it comes to that particular issue, some of it is for other men.
Because I've been fortunate, or unfortunate, to go in professional locker rooms.
Yeah.
And these men walk around, and they're physical specimens as it is. They're professional athletes. I mean, they're like top 0.1%ers.
Right.
And some of the junk they're carrying with them just intimidates the hell out of you. It really, things that you thought you would never see that scar you for life. And you're like,
so sorry.
How is that possible?
And what sport?
Basketball by far is
the one that will just
blow your mind. Is you're trying to do an interview and, you're talking to these people that just finished a game and the man next to him is completely naked and you can't help but out of the corner of your eye go, I'm not a man. I'm so inferior. And I'm wondering if that plays, if that has something to do with our, us being uncomfortable with ourselves.
The idea, I think, is that it makes you comfortable and not weird about stuff like that. But, it may backfire. I don't know. No one's ever studied that. I know that's not.
Is it a worthwhile study?
I don't think it's that big a deal, or I think you'd hear more specific complaints about it in people's stories.
Right.
People are getting treated and stuff. That would be a big issue for them. And you rarely hear that.
Just you're taking, there's like 30 heads in the shower, and you're like, that guy doesn't stand next to me.
Do women shower in open situations?
Yeah, I think so.
Completely open, yeah.
I don't think so.
It's a weird ritual that we have for young adolescents anyway, to throw them all in a big bin like that. And it's like concentration camp-like.
And it's just comparison shopping. Yeah. You're like, wow, well, look at that. And so I got that guy beat, but this guy's just crushing
it. And whatever it is, whether it's breast size or hip size or whatever, people are bound to feel bad about themselves.
Right.
There's always somebody with something that you don't have. All right. Well, listen, with that profound discussion,
I'm glad I cleared that up.
Thank you, Mike. I appreciate that. We'll move on to another break. The phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. It will be back.
I feel so liquidy.
Really? Why?
You're listening to Loveline with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew. Loveline will be right back.
Loveline, 1-800-LOVE-191. Carolla's off working on his Comedy Central show this week. I've had the pleasure of co-hosting with a range of really interesting people. I hope you guys have enjoyed it. Tonight we have Money from the Mothership Morning Show, who is on his farewell tour. This is something he has dreamed of for years, since he used to wrangle bands and bring them in here. People like Orbital. Orbital, I beg your pardon.
Yeah, who had a rough go of it.
Yeah.
AFI, who actually did AFI. Very well.
Good guys.
Yeah. They're emotional. They care about their kids.
They do. They are kids. And is it everything you thought it would be?
Yes.
Can you hear behind the mic?
And better. Well, think about it. You're answering all of my questions that I've had my whole life.
Do you have others? Here we go.
I have plenty.
Go. It's your chance.
Plenty.
I go on their morning show once in a while, and Money might have to ask me questions, but I get badgered by the usual morning show fare.
Sure. I guess my question now is, as I'm raising children, right?
Yes.
And I'm worried about the world that we live in. What do you look out for? Like, how do you raise good kids now? What's the trick? I mean, I was brought up in a pretty good household. I had very little drama.
Yeah, the trick is quiet and stable, simple. So people are healthier in simple lives. They really are. So quiet and stable, and high levels of supervision, and lots of time until they're 12. You really got to get to 12. The 12 is when the brain is really not dry yet.
Right.
Any trauma can have profound effects on the course of development. And then after that, it becomes, again, just vigilance. just shepherding and making sure that then, you know, up to 12, it's about the sort of formation of the emotional systems. After that, it's the trajectory they're going to take in the world. And you just got to make sure that launching pad is lined up right from between 12 and 18 so they don't splash off in the Pacific.
Right. Speaking That's of scary.
Did you hear that? The
boom.
Oh, my God.
I'll tell you what's funny. I have a, I'm one of these green freaks. I have a car that runs on compressed natural gas.
Cool.
That doesn't pollute the world and all that sort of stuff. And so I was filling my propane tank.
At 5 in the morning?
Well, I'm on the morning show.
Oh.
So I am filling it up, and I heard this boom. And you want to talk about scaring the hell out of you, because I'm working with propane, and I'm filling my car. And this massive boom happened, and I literally jumped in the air. And I was
I'm sure.
I mean, it really scared me.
It is, people in Southern California have never experienced this. When the space shuttle lands, it lets loose this double humongous sonic boom. And if we live in the earthquake territory, it feels like an earthquake
right.
starting. And it's like, oh, my God. And I was thrown out of bed by this goddamn thing. And I had several very surprising reactions. One was, this is an earthquake. Half a millisecond later, oh, no, it's the space shuttle. Half a millisecond later, oh, that must mean they're landing. That's a good thing.
Right.
You know, which I was so surprised at myself for having this good feeling after having been thrown out of bed. It's like, really? Good. I guess it's good.
I had no idea. I thought I was going to die. But I was at the Long Beach propane filling facility, and I was about to just explode.
There's a great book out there if you're really interested in parenting called Parenting from the Inside Out by a guy named Dan Siegel. It's the best parenting book I've found. Yeah. See, all this sort of self-help stuff that's out there is so much BS. There's lists of things you can do. Now, has any of that ever helped anybody, really?
No.
Really?
What do you think of Dr. Phil?
Poor Phil. I mean, whatever. He's purely a motivational speaker.
Right.
And that's fine. And he goes a good TV show. And, right.
Do people compare you to Dr. Phil now?
No. My understanding is, though, that Phil's getting good consultants in there, which is a good thing. If you have good people working on the stuff that he presents, that could be a good combo.
Right.
And so, you know. What are you going to do? But the idea of breaking things down to steps and stuff, I just think that's a horrible idea. Because, I mean, throughout human history, think of the things that have changed humans. It's been those sort of philosophical insights and change in your sort of epistemological perspectives on life and understanding. Not follow these steps to happen. No,
right.
Never. No way.
Does every guy read The Art of War and then decide that that's how they're going to attack
their
life?
It's true. Yeah.
It's something in us.
Chinese letters on the front's cool.
Right.
Okay, let's go to Cindy on line 6. She is 24. Cindy?
Hello.
Hey, what's going on there?
Hey, I'm married, and my husband's leaving for the Navy, and he leaves next month. So I'm kind of worried because I was told if I get pregnant that he will get all his things taken away from him, you know.
All his things?
He won't be able to go, yeah. And
he won't be able to go to Iraq? It must be very disappointing to him.
No, he's in Navy. So he's going to be working on the planes and stuff, so he won't probably be over there. But I've taken 2 pregnancy tests, and they've both been coming up negative, but I still haven't had my period in, like, 2 months. So I was wondering if there's, like, something else that could be causing me not to have it, or...
Of course. There's many things that can do that, not the least of which can even be stress and the kinds of things you're going through with your husband about to ship off. Are you on any medication?
No, I'm not.
Have you ever had a missed period before?
No, not usually. Like, mostly it'd be late by, like, you know, a week or something. It seems to get later and later every time during the month.
Yeah. Well, I would still check the pregnancy test again in a couple of weeks. That certainly is the most common reason of no period. Medication is another thing. Stress is another thing. Then it becomes sort of other. Ovarian cysts are very common. Endometriosis can affect it. Something called hypothalamic pituitary axis dysfunction. But that tends to be people that have more commonly, more regularly irregular periods, polycystic ovarian disease, lots of things. So it's not as though, oh my God, Cindy's missed her period, she better go run to the hospital. I would say all women miss periods once in a while, and most women miss things quite frequently. I mean, have irregular periods often. So keep checking the pregnancy test to make sure you're not dealing with that, and then see a doctor. It could be thyroid problems. You just need a basic battery of tests and a workup, a pelvic exam, make sure you're not ovarian cyst, okay?
Okay, thank you.
All right, this now is Faith, who's 17. Faith?
Hello?
Hi there, what's going on?
Okay, I broke up with my boyfriend 5 months ago because he wasn't treating me very well because I didn't tell him that I had gotten pregnant.
Are you by him?
That's minor detail.
Yeah, well...
I'm confused. He didn't treat you well because you didn't tell him you were pregnant?
Yeah.
So, did you terminate the pregnancy?
Well, I had a miscarriage because of my cystic fibrosis.
Ooh. And that upset him?
Yeah. First of all, he got scared because, you know, I didn't tell him. And then he got pissed off because I didn't tell him. Mm. And so he was treating me really badly. So
all right.
His dad basically made me break up with him.
All right.
And, well, now guys from the age of, like, 13 all the way up to 50 are attracted to me. And, I mean, I guess it kind of makes me feel okay, but I really want him back. But I don't, like, I don't know if I should or...
I would say not. It sounds like that wasn't working very well. Not, don't go back to relationships that have ended. Usually you end up ending, it's just, particularly at your age, this is part, the ending process doesn't happen cleanly. You don't really know when things need to end. You sort of end it and start up again, end it and start up again. They never really take off. And
what about the bird thing? If you love something, set it free.
So, so much BS. But as far as you have being attractive to other males, you better get used to that and learn how to manage that because that's the way a lot of women have to deal. We've got to take a break there, Faith. Thank you for your call. Money here from the morning show. Again, we have another break. Goes fast, though, right?
It really does.
Break to break. It's not like morning shows where you take breaks all the time. But we will take a break. And the phone number here is 1-800-LOVE-191. We'll be answering more calls after this. Loveline, I'm Dr. Drew. He's Adam Carolla. He's away. I'm having a good time with a series of co-hosts tonight. It's Matt Money Smith from the Morning Show here at the Mothership. 11 years with K-Rock, music director, rock hunter, record promoter.
I've done it all.
Sports.
I'm very lucky. I'm a guy that grew up loving music and sports, and I've done them both.
Let's start with a question for you. This is Anthony, 21 on line 6.
Hey, Anthony.
Hello.
Hey, what's going on, buddy?
Not much. I have two questions. This first one's for money. I wanted to know what your feelings are about Randy Moss and the Raiders.
Randy's an interesting guy. Are you familiar with him, Drew?
Over the years. Was he with the Vikings?
He was with the Vikings for a while. He is probably the best athlete in the NFL, but his head is just not on straight.
And oh, really?
He has been in... It's funny, you know, he does things that you wouldn't expect athletes to do. I mean, we see athletes get in trouble all the time off the field, but this is a guy who has been suspended for squirting a ref with a water bottle as he was running by during a game. He left the field before the game was over once, about 2 minutes early. Just his team was going to lose, so he decided to leave. He got into an altercation with a police officer. They were trying to write him a ticket, and he drove into them and made the parking person who was writing the ticket move out of the way, or he was going to run them over. Just had no interest in stopping the car. So I think he's a perfect Raider. He will fit in with that team better than anyone could imagine. And, you know, I think it's funny, you know.
The new Jack Tatum.
Yes, exactly. People are so fascinated by this, and they want their athletes to be these perfect people. They're just not. You know, they're typically
They're
not good guys.
Typically not good guys who become millionaires at 22.
Yes, and it's a lot to deal with.
And it gets worse.
Well, and not to mention they come from very poor beginnings. Mm-hmm. So it's a whole different world for them. And Randy, I think in particular, he's just got some issues. And if he can keep those straight off the field, he'll be great. If he can't, he'll be a nightmare.
What was your other question?
My other question is, I was sexually abused when I was younger, and I've always had a huge sex drive.
Yep.
And so, like, I had a lot of sex when I was younger. I stopped about 2 or 3 years ago, and I didn't have sex for that period. And just recently I had sex again, and I lost a lot of feeling. Like, it's not as intense as it was. Is that normal, or is that...
Have you been doing drugs since then?
No.
Are you on medication now?
I quit about 3 months ago. I was taking Vicodin.
Oh, well, this is all the Vicodin. So you are doing drugs. Now, you don't just quit Vicodin. You usually switch to something else. What else are you taking?
Well, I ran out, so I just stopped taking it.
Huh. Well, you're not smoking. You must be doing something. If you're addicted to Vicodin, it's almost impossible just to stop.
I wasn't, like, addicted or anything so much as, like, I had an injury.
Yeah.
And that's what I was taking it for, was the injury.
How long did you take it for?
Probably about 3 months.
All right. What was the injury?
I had a broken back.
Well, I would think about the broken back being more to do with your feeling and your genitalia.
But I mean, I had sex before I broke my back, and it was the same feeling. It was the same loss of feeling, I should say.
Tom, what do you mean by loss of feeling?
I can feel it and whatnot, but it's not so much pleasurable. I have the intense sexual drive, but I do not have the pleasure that all comes with it.
Do you have any medical problems?
None. Other than obviously the broken back, but
well, how'd you break your back?
I rolled a quad going about 70.
Oof. Well, I will tell you that with the sexual abuse, it's very common for there to be bipolarity associated with that. And so you could have been in a manic phase when you were so involved with sex. Also, people that have been sexually abused, it sort of affects their arousal system. So they sort of are constantly going for that level of arousal that was so shattering when they were younger. And they will then fluctuate as an adult for between periods of super hyper arousal and total shutdown. And you may be in one of those shutdown phases now, made worse by the Vicodin and whatnot. But in that shutdown, it makes sense to me there might also be some dissociation from the body feelings associated with it as well. Okay?
Okay.
It makes sense. It's something you ought to kind of look into, particularly if you're the sexual compulsion aspects of this. Now we need to go to line two is Sherry. She is 18.
Hi there.
Sherry?
Hi.
Hey, what's going on?
I have a kind of a huge, massive problem. My dad is going into rehab, and he announced it today. And he's been an addict for, God, his whole life. He was addicted to heroin, and he was clean for 18 years. And then started doing coke and Vicodin basically every night. And he's an alcoholic, but a functional one. You know, he works a ton. I think he might be bipolar. There's all these aspects of it, and I'm really glad he's going into rehab. I went through AA myself, but...
Oh, good.
The only problem is that he doesn't believe in 12-step. He doesn't believe in group therapy. He doesn't believe in any of that, basically.
Where is he going for treatment?
He wants to go to, like, a holistic kind of spa thing.
Okay, that's not treatment.
Yeah, I know.
So, that's not good times.
It's good times. It'd be great, kind of good times.
It'd be great if that were.
That's where I'd go, too.
Yeah, me, too. It'd be wonderful for people.
Exactly.
He needs to go to a hospital.
Yeah.
He needs to go to get detox in a hospital and see people who have expertise in this area.
Yeah.
And he needs to take direction from them. Otherwise, he's just going to keep on going. It's very simple.
I mean, I told him that, and he's like, well, why don't you trust me? And I'm like, okay, well, you're an addict. I can't trust you.
Yeah, because, listen, here you got to tell him. Addiction has nothing to do with trust, has nothing to do with volition, has nothing to do with logic. It's a disorder of a deep area of the brain. It's a brain disease that affects a part of the brain called the medial forebrain bundle that is outside of consciousness, outside of thought, logic, and even language. It's a part of the brain that determines drive and motivation. And it's broken when you become addicted. It's based on a genetic mechanism. And when it becomes broken, that drive is activated. And the brain literally believes it's committing suicide or no longer going to survive if the drugs stop coming. That's the mechanism that's been activated.
Okay, so but
and that's it.
I mean, I've told him all of that before, you know, like about how, I mean, I went through 12 steps, so I know that it works, and I know that you, even if you don't want to go in, it's better to be thrown in, because no matter what, you know, you get...
The only next thing you can do is go to a codependency program and work on that, because you can't change him.
We can't put him in a facility, correct?
I know. If he's over 18, you can't put him anywhere.
But
you can go get some codependency treatment. And I will tell you that the family members and friends participating in a codependency program significantly impacts on the probability that the identified person will come to treatment.
Okay. And what is a codependency program?
Al-Anon.
Oh, okay. So going back to Alateen and everything.
Okay. Go to Al-Anon. You're how old now?
18.
Go to Al-Anon.
Okay.
It's time.
All right. Thank you so much.
All right. Good luck.
You know what I do for my kids to motivate them? I have this chart. And when they do something good,
star.
I give them a sticker.
Yeah, star.
And then at the end, there's a goal.
Yeah.
So she could maybe make a chart for her dad, give him a sticker.
He behaves like a kid.
Maybe there's like a power saw or something.
And
we had
triplets, and so we had lots of those boards and things over the years. They work.
Well, what happens is the kids get wise to them.
I know.
And so they get all the stickers, and then they go back to the behavior.
Yes.
Like for us, it was, we don't want to sleep with you anymore. You need to go to bed by yourself. So here's your stickers. Great. Here's your Ariel costume. And then a week later... Dad, sleep with me. Oh, wait a minute. What about the chart? Let me ask you a question about drugs.
Yes.
I come from a family, I guess, that has some alcoholism in it.
Mm-hmm.
So I assume that makes me a candidate for...
50%.
50%. Okay, well,
Unless you're North American Indian, then it's a little higher.
No. Yeah, right.
No, it is.
I'm not. Oh, really?
Particularly Cherokee. That has like 100%.
Have a disposition to...
It's just the way the gene penetrates with that ethnicity.
No, I'm pretty white.
Okay.
So I'm all right there. But... I experimented. It's funny. I was a very picky drug user through late high school. Didn't like pot.
Yeah.
Loved hallucinogenics. Really enjoyed them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I kind of was one of those people that came to a realization on his own that it probably wasn't a good idea to be taking them anymore. Yes. I liked acid and mushrooms and that sort of thing, and I just found myself one night doing acid on my own, by myself. And, you know, it's kind of a group thing where you all get together and you're like, oh, look at that. That's kind of cool. There's a monkey running through the sky, and look at the sea. King Neptune's coming out. And I just enjoyed it.
Yeah.
And then I quit. But from time to time, there are certain things that happened during those hallucinations that I still have.
Yes.
It
changes your brain.
It does.
Oh, yeah. And you'll occasionally see a color and it'll remind you of that. It'll feel differently. That's an amygdala experience. Your amygdala is tweaked by the drug. And what can happen is that can be sort of stay in this sort of, okay, isn't that interesting zone? It can sort of go off the chart where nothing's interesting anymore. That whole area gets sort of burned out, so to speak.
Right.
And so you have to be really careful with that. That's not addict behavior, by the way.
It isn't.
That doesn't smack of addiction to me.
No, I was very good about it. And I was kind of a guy that was disciplined during the so-called trip, where if it went bad, I'd go, you know, this is going to end in 2 hours, and I really need to get onto something better.
That's not all addict stuff.
I haven't touched it in, you know, years, 10, 12.
How many times do you think you did it?
Maybe 10, 12.
That's not addict. No way. And in fact, with acid,
I guess my concern is that it's something that will haunt me for the rest. And I don't necessarily say haunt. It's just a weird.
No, I don't think you, at that level, unless you took a huge hit one of those times.
Right, which I wouldn't know. I'm sure it was some toothless freak that made it in a bathtub.
Yeah, but people usually they'll take multiple hits to get that huge high, or not even high, a huge experience, and then you can hurt yourself.
Right.
But usually just 10 times, usually not that big a deal. Usually some changes in the amygdala, some changes in mood. If you had a predisposition to mood problems, it could definitely make those worse.
Which I noticed in some of my friends.
Yeah.
It's weird. Your personality kind of comes out.
Well, it changes. It can change, too.
And so bad idea.
It's so funny. You look at the textbooks from the 70s, that they're sort of evaluating the brain effects of LSD. And there's nearly been no proven effects, but it has been observed that these characteristic personality changes, but these people seem different and happier afterwards. So I guess it's a good thing. You know, they would make value judgments on these profound changes in their personality and their biology. It's like, that wasn't the question. The question was, are there changes or aren't there?
And I would assume if there are changes, it's a bad idea.
It's not as though you're going to suddenly be Einstein. You know what I mean? It's not going to make you a lot better.
Right.
With that.
It's just strange, you know?
The brain is, there's no free lunch in Mother Nature. I say this all the time. If you stimulate your system in such a way that you're driving it above its physiologic norms, there will be a price.
Right.
There'll be a price for that.
Kids just do the meth these days. Such a weak,
weird drug, yeah.
Yeah.
But they do it because it makes them do more things and drink more alcohol and stay up longer and study better. It's just a performance drug. They can go do things when they're on it.
I had a guy I went to college with who would be on meth for like 4 days before exams and wouldn't sleep and would just basically blew off college until 4 days before exams.
And would crank.
It would just go nuts and would do great on his exams. He's a lawyer now. Yeah. And it was just a weird situation to come in on like day three and he's just tweaking out of his mind.
That's sort of an addict behavior.
Is it?
Yeah, it's alcoholic stuff. That guy, you know, just look into it.
Bad idea. Yeah.
Nicole, 21, she's on line 3. Nicole, what's going on?
Hello?
Hey, what's up there?
Hey. Hey, I'm calling because I want to know if there's hope, I guess. For me,
No, I don't think so.
None.
No.
Goodbye. Next.
No, Nicole.
Okay, here's my situation. I'm 21. I'm a single mom. Things aren't really that easy. His father doesn't come around at all. My son's his third of four. He was cheating on me, you know, the whole time. I was living with him for a while. I left him when I was pregnant, and I just find it really hard to be in a relationship, and it scares me, and I, you know, there's guys that are interested in me, and, you know, I'll go along with it. Yeah, let's go out. Everything's cool. But the minute the words, I love you, come out, I just...
The minute where what?
The words, I love you, come out.
Yeah, but that's not because of your crummy ex.
Mm-hmm.
That's because of your crummy dad.
What?
What was up with your dad?
My dad?
Your dad.
My father has always been there for me.
Why wouldn't it be a trust issue with her? Because with her guy leaving her
because,
when she's pregnant.
No, she chose that guy because of some reason. It could be amplified by that, but the fact is she chose the a-hole for a reason. What was up with your dad?
My dad's a great father. He's been.
What happened when he was around your whole childhood?
Yes, from birth till now, he's still in my life.
How about?
They're married. My parents are married together. They're a perfect family.
Then why do you go for an idiot?
I don't know. I really don't. I was, like, really involved in my church, and my girlfriends from church introduced me to him. And that's how I met him. And at the time when I met him, I was leaving to the army. And, you know, that's when I met him. I ended up...
Again, it's...
There's a lot going on here.
But there's more. There's more. You're, Nicole, this is not the whole story. It's not the perfect family. What, your parents never fought?
Who doesn't? I mean...
Did they hit each other when they fought?
No.
Did they ever hit you?
Spankings as in when...
How often did that happen?
Once a month, once every 3 months.
Did they hit you with an object?
A belt at the hand.
Okay, that's physical abuse. Okay, the belt. Hitting with an object has a profound effect on children. So you were physically abused... Were you ever sexually abused?
Yes.
Okay. You were sexually abused. You were physically abused. That's why you went for the a-hole. Now, was your dad the one that did the physical abusing?
He would do the spanking, yeah.
Okay. That's not a perfect dad. That's a dad who's an out-of-control parent.
No, it wasn't out of control. He never did it out of anger. It was
Nicole,
because we were bad.
Could you imagine taking a belt to your child? What do you think about that? Take a nice 4-year-old and just smack him with a belt. How'd that feel? Good? Of course not. That is a parent who's out of control. Did he drink?
No. Well, now he doesn't spank it. Like, after my older sister and I...
Look, when it has the effect on you, the younger you are, the more profound the effect. Okay, so there's a reason you were attracted to that idiot. The things that terrorize us in childhood become the sources of attraction in adulthood. It's crazy. It's how we're wired. Dante in his Inferno picked up on this. Dante's sitting with Virgil at the gates of hell, and he's watching ferry loads of people come across the river into hell. And he says they don't resist. They come right in. And Virgil says, oh, yes, in hell, terror is converted into attraction. Wow, that is it. I mean, we've known that forever about humans. And we're in just massive denial about it. And money, if we would have known how a polar bear worked, we'd look at about 30 polar bears and go, well, these polar bears, I mean, would it shock you that if somebody beat the hell out of a puppy, that puppy would then become sort of changed by that? All right, humans the same. That's it, period.
You know, we got spankings in school when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm. I know, we did too. Spanking, it has a lesser effect than if a parent.
There's no emotional connection.
Well, there's a fact. There's an effect. It can make you antisocial. It can make you not want to listen to authority, for sure.
I had the most demented school. They would make you sign a paper before they gave you a spanking, I would assume. So, you know, and then they would get a witness.
Crazy.
But it was like this whole process that you knew it was the worst. You would do something wrong. Then you would have to go in the hallway. And then they'd hand you this clipboard with a sheet of paper on it. You have to sign it. Then they'd go and get the witness. Then you'd bend over and they'd swat you.
It has been known how bad. I would refer you to James. Isn't Joyce?
James Joyce.
Portrait of an Artist, yes. As a Young Man. He talks in vivid detail about the effect this had on him when he was beaten at school. Profound effect, and how it made him pursue prostitutes. Where literally, it sort of added to his sexual compulsion.
Didn't do that to me. I just really didn't like it very much.
I of course that. But the point is, you see how profound denial is. Nicole was physically abused and sexually abused.
And her dad's a great guy.
And dad may be a good guy, but he's a bad parent.
Right.
And has no connection between why she would choose an abusive, abandoning a-hole. When that's all she's ever known from men, and she has, you have to be treated for that. When you've been sexually abused, it profoundly affects what you were attracted to. And of course, when you now go out there, you can't trust yourself is what you can't trust, but you're still going to be very attracted to those awful guys. They're the ones that suddenly, magically, you'll be able to be with. Any guy that's nice, you're going to sabotage.
So are you a fan of the timeout? Is that the solution?
Time out and maybe time in therapy. You know, time in some kind of treatment, because Nicole's got a big monkey on her back.
Right.
This is not, the perfect.
She's got a child.
I got the perfect childhood, perfect life, perfect family. It hit me with a belt. I was sexually abused. I'm 20 with a 17-year-old trying to ship off to the army, and I don't understand why I can't just find another guy.
Well, she's from Whittier. I mean, that's sort of normal behavior for Whittier, isn't
it? Well, I'm just saying. Just saying. All right. Money for the Morning Show is with us today. The mothership here at K-Rock. Let's go now to what?
I thought you were going to break. Never mind.
No. Let's go to line 2. It's a Jake 20. What's up, Jake?
Yeah, good evening. I love the program, and I've listened to it for years. I've recently been diagnosed with gender identity disorder,
mm-hmm.
and they're saying it's caused from radiation, which I had back when I was 3.5.
For leukemia?
No, for a brain tumor that I had that sat on my optic nerve.
And a pituitary tumor? Like a craniopharyngioma, something like that?
I had an optic chiasmoglioma that sat on the optic nerve, and the radiation was shot on each side of the temple area and nicked the hypothalamus and the pituitary glands.
With the radiation?
Yes.
And you're wondering, did the radiation contribute to this gender identity disorder?
Yes. Some doctors say yes, and some doctors say no.
I think it's a very interesting hypothesis. I don't know that anyone's ever going to prove it in your lifetime.
Prove it, yeah, because there's no real research done on it.
Not they obviously, like with everything with human behavior, there are biological effects and there are environmental influences. And you know, you've had a big hit to your biology, and it's got to have some effect. Whether or not it specifically shaped this disorder, I kind of doubt it. But that combined with whatever else was going on in your life, now you got a case. Now you got a case. How are you managing this gender identity problem?
It wasn't really a problem. I just felt like something was always off when I was growing up. And then when I went in to the urologist because I couldn't have an erection, he ran some tests, told me, you have higher levels of estrogen than you do of testosterone. I knew my testosterone was low because the radiation nicked the pituitary
gland. But most men, when they have biological illnesses that lower their testosterone, when you restore the testosterone, they go into a testosterone storm. There's a great book out there called Man Made about a guy, now the editor of Us Magazine, in fact.
Love Us Magazine.
And he became a professional hockey player immediately after going on testosterone. He went from somebody not interested in sports, not interested in women, to a hockey-playing whore.
Was Lance Armstrong doing the testosterone, too, after his cancer treatment? Isn't that like one of the things that they always said, that he had some help?
Probably restoring testosterone levels. But again, that's not having any for years and years. Right. That's just after the levels drop after treatment. Jake, what's the question?
That's mainly all my question was, just to find out if you thought it was.
But a gender identity disorder means you're not sure if you're male or female, or man or a woman, really.
Yeah, because I've had more estrogen.
I know, but having more estrogen does not affect gender identity. It affects manifestations of your male identity, how intensely it's manifesting. It doesn't make you feel, I think I'm a woman.
I don't feel like that, but that's what they tried to diagnose me with.
Sounds suspicious. It sounds like what we call hypogonadism.
So what do you do when you have gender identity disorder? Do you dress up in women's clothes? Or
Sometimes right. I get the changeover operations.
Really?
Ooh, do we have Dr. Alter's book here? Look for that, Michelle. Because I'm going to show Money some really cool pictures.
Oh, I don't know if I want to see this. Is it bad?
Yeah.
This is post-surgery?
Pre and post and all the various stages in between.
I had a group of friends that went on a bachelor party to Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
You tell me if this is messed up.
Yes. They're, your friends?
Yes.
I'm sure it is.
So they end up going to the bars, and a couple of the guys that are there take this woman home, have sex with her, and go to the same bar the next night and are told, that woman used to be a man.
Wow.
Yeah.
And they didn't seem to have a problem with it.
The guys,
because they were under the presumption.
The beauty of men.
That
as long as it looked like a woman,
right,
it's fine.
They're like, well, it's not.
If it was woman enough.
That's going to affect them for life, right? They will always be in the back of their mind that they had sex with a man.
Not necessarily.
Really?
Oh.
Us men, we can dismiss that.
Some men can just go march right on through that.
I don't know if
Michelle's
I could.
Just crack it up. Might affect you, money, for the rest of your life.
Oh, yeah. I have no question.
Here we go. Here's a nice penis reconstructed out of a forearm. Isn't that nice? See that one down the lower right-hand corner? Lower right. This other page.
This one?
No. Right where your thumb is. There we go.
Wow.
They made that out of the forearm here. And then they just attached that on.
That thing's huge.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you want one?
Yeah.
You would just wish? Okay.
I'm just saying.
Just saying.
That's impressive.
All right. It is time for a break, money.
And that works?
Well, yeah, it can be made to work. Nothing really comes out of it.
Put a pump in it. And,
right, that kind of thing. And, yeah,
right.
Whatever. But good times, yeah?
And there's a big scar on it. Chicks dig scars, man.
Oh, yeah. Frank and Dick. There's nothing like it. Frank and penis, I beg your pardon. Okay. The phone number here, 1-800-LOVE-191. We are taking your calls. Money, you still need to try to stump money with sports and or music questions. We'll be happy to take your calls after this.
Standing by.
Loveline will be back in a minute.
Love Line. Dr. Drew here. Adam away, working on his Comedy Central show. My show tonight, Discovery Health Channel, Strictly Sex, midnight. Please check it out. It's a pretty good show this
How's
week.
That going?
It's going well. I mean, the show, it's a worthy show.
You like TV?
TV is a challenge. I like the challenge of it. I like, it's just different.
It's amazing.
I love radio.
Yeah.
There's nothing not to love about radio. Television is sort of like an interesting challenge.
I've done both, and it's amazing the production that goes into a TV show. It blows your mind. How many people work on one show?
I know.
Why are there 30 people in this room?
For this 3 minutes of television.
Yes.
Yeah, and it's sort of, some of it too is convention. Well, because that's what we need. Because that's what we do. That's what it takes for a television show. Really? I think I could do it with one person, a cameraman.
At radio, we do it by ourselves.
We do it by ourselves, and we produce things that more people listen to than watch your...
Interesting.
Just saying. Yeah. All right, let's take line six. This is Thomas, who is 23. Thomas? Caller who goes by Thomas.
Yeah, I'm
there? There we go. What's going on?
Not a whole lot, man. How are you guys doing today?
We're good.
Good, thank you.
All right, so here's the story. I have this friend of mine. We've known each other for a long time, and we've been living together for a couple months now, right?
Mm-hmm.
And throughout, you know, our friendship, we've kind of been messing around off and on.
A male. So
he decides, yeah.
Yeah.
So he decides to move in with me. We're cool with that. We decide that, you know, it'll continue to be the way it always has been. Casual sex, roommates, bills, the whole nine yards. No feelings. And now he's starting to get kind of emotionally attached towards me, and I don't have time for it, but he's my roommate, and he's my friend, and I don't want to hurt him. I just want to not have to be in a relationship with him.
Well, this is a classic situation of friends with benefits. And I can only share with you my experience with male-female friend with benefit arrangements, and they never, ever work. They work for a while, and they can even work for even a year or two sometimes, but without exception, somebody gets an attachment. We're only human.
There's no such thing as a booty call without an emotional attachment.
Well, not on a regular basis. Right. And and I'm interested that in a gay relationship, the same thing happens. And I have noticed that I can't predict whether it's going to be the male or the female that gets attached in the friends with benefit thing. It's not always the woman that gets attached. Man does too sometimes. And so it makes sense to me that in a gay relationship, it'd be equally as probable that, you know, one of the men get attached. And so
is he more the female in the relationship, Thomas, or, you know what I'm saying?
We're both versatile.
He likes you. What are you going to do, Thomas? He likes you. And that's natural. It's human. You're in intimate contact with this human being. It's almost inhuman to not develop feelings. Maybe you're developing them at a different rate, but...
Well, I mean, I do like him. I care a great deal for him. And, you know, the idea of a relationship wouldn't be bad. I just don't have time for it.
Well, like any other awkward circumstance, when romance develops and one person doesn't respond, you're going to have to be very clear about it. You sort of set it up. I think maybe stop having sex is the answer here, if that's possible.
It's too convenient.
Anyway.
It's a roommate.
Yeah, it's too convenient.
That gay thing's got to be great.
I know, just lots of guys.
I'm telling you.
Now, that's when everyone's got the same set of motivational priorities.
Right.
Everyone's thinking the same, and so that's why gays have lots of sex, lots of people.
Right.
Yeah, it's convenient.
All right, but listen, if you care about him, you're going to have to adjust and not just exploit. And you're hurting him. So you got to stop having sex for a while. If you actually care about this human being, you're going to have to adjust to that. And that may mean not having sex. I'm sorry.
What if I tried to explain to him, you know, all right, I share some of the feelings that you're having.
No, stop with that. Look, you're going to be harsh. I'm not up for this right now. You're a great guy. You're my good friend. I'm bothered that I'm hurting you, that you're developing these feelings, but we're not going there. And if you can tolerate that, we'll keep the things the way they are. If you can tolerate it, maybe you need to move out. Maybe you need to not have sex. Whatever. But you've got to allow him that possibility. You owe that to him if he's somebody you say, you care about.
You're right.
All right.
I know you're right.
I know I'm right, too. So go do it. Bye, Thomas.
Bye, guys.
The gays can get the sex anywhere, too.
Guys? Yeah, I know.
I mean, it's not like you have to be. Obviously, there's no emotional attachment to the guy.
Guys are so predictable. It's like, well, this one's in my room.
I know.
I mean, you're going to take my root? You're taking that away from me? No way. I know. Men just sort of can get into this thing where sex is not about humans.
Right.
It's about sex.
Which is a great thing.
Which is a great thing, for the gay men when they can do that. But women, that's extremely mysterious. They can't do that very well.
How long have you been doing this?
Let's see. Today's Wednesday. 23 years. No, 21 years.
So what's the difference in percentage of people that are gay now compared to
I
when?
I think it's about this. I don't know. I don't know those numbers off the top of my head. We've not.
Have you noticed a shift?
Well, I tell you what I have noticed is it sort of, even though Corolla himself wishes to be gay, genuinely,
right.
he really prefers
that. Doesn't
that.
Surprise me.
I feel as though the show is not quite as gay friendly as it used to be. I mean, because he doesn't. He's a non-denominational abuser, and so right. everyone gets hit in the crossfire.
Sure.
And I think some people don't like that, and I think it feels not friendly. It's like, for instance, Thomas is an unusual call for us when Adam's in here.
Oh, really?
I just think it definitely...
Thomas seemed like a nice guy.
Great guy. By the way, nice Adam man. Is just delighted to talk to people there. Almost, I mean, as am I. It's a human experience, and we're leaving out a big piece of the human experience if we don't talk to these people. But I have a sense that we don't talk to as many as we used to.
Do you think it's genetic?
There's clearly a genetic... like every human behavior... There's gene and environment.
Right.
And for a given individual, there's varying degrees of contribution of either. And some men clearly seem to be more genetically set up that way, and some men seem to be clearly more environmentally sort of made in the lab. And the made in the lab environmental experience is sexual abuse by Uncle Stu,
right,
which is really a common way to develop a sexual orientation towards men. However, neither way, however you get there, when you're there, you're there. It's not as though you can undo it. I mean, it's a deeply wired
So you don't think if they found out it was genetic, they could create a treatment if you wanted to be cured?
It's deeply, deeply wired in. I don't want to say never, but...
What about the Lord?
The Lord himself?
The Lord himself could help, right?
He has a plan, and he'll carry it out, okay. Whatever that might be. All right, this now is Manny, line 5. Manny.
Drew, hey, Money.
What's up, man?
Hey, guys, I have a question for Money.
Yeah.
Alrighty, do you know the award? It's a little trivia. The award given to the top Division III football player.
Wow, Division III football player. Is it the Walter Payton Award?
No, it's the Gagliardi Trophy.
There you go.
Did you know that?
No.
Well done.
I didn't. Stumped good one, though.
No. Justin, line 1, 19.
Hey, how's it going?
I get these all the time. Really? Minutia, man. Just so deep, the Gagliardi Trophy. Division III is like, you know.
Who knew?
Nobody.
That's what I played.
Did you really?
Or whatever. Probably beneath that.
Would you play college ball?
No, Division III. I was thinking of high school.
Oh.
Like some weird.
Now, Division III is like the lowest level of athletics in college, which is still pretty impressive.
All right, Justin, what's up?
Hey, how's it going?
We're doing good.
Good. So last Friday when I ejaculated, blood came out.
Well, that's better than blood coming out when you pee. Actually.
Okay. Well, the thing is, when I was a kid, I've always had some amount of blood in my urine. Not enough noticeable, but always when I was growing up, when I was 5
You mean when they would look on the microscope, they'd see red cells?
Exactly. And I've always had that my whole life. I had tests when I was a kid. They did blood tests every week for a couple of years, and they never knew what it was, so they just dropped it. And so
it would be a good idea to have that evaluated again in adulthood, because there's a lot of reasons that can be happening.
And so,
it's a very complicated workup and a significant workup. As far as blood in the semen, that's actually a much less significant issue. That happens very frequently to a lot of men, and it rarely means anything. You should talk to a urologist about it when you go talk to them about the red cells in the urine, but it rarely means anything.
Okay, because that happened Friday, and then today when I was at the gym, and I went, took a pee, and half my urine was...
All right, well, that's something that needs to be evaluated. The blood in the urine is something that needs to be checked out. That can be anything from kidney stones to irritations in the lining of the bladder to intrinsic kidney diseases. So that needs to be checked out, okay?
Okay, yeah, because I went to the doctor, and she said, if it happens again, call her back. She did a prostate exam and everything, so...
Well, you need some blood work, too. Do that?
Yeah, she... Okay.
And some urine tests, obviously.
All right.
But the blood in the semen is, again, not nearly as significant as blood in the urine.
Okay.
All right.
Kidney stones.
Justin.
I have this crazy Uncle Bob who would tell us all these different stories when we were kids. You know, he's a guy that talks on the phone in the basement next to the air conditioner in case the people are listening, right? He's one of these guys.
No.
Great guy, though. Wonderful man. He passed a kidney stone.
Yeah.
Saved it. And showed it to my cousin.
It's beautiful, huh?
It's one of the most atrocious things I've ever seen. Yeah. It looks kind of like, just to kind of paint a picture, it looks kind of like a lemon seed with little hooks coming out of it, right?
Yes.
And imagine that coming through your urethra.
Oh, yes.
I can't imagine the pain.
Yeah.
And the reason he saved it, showed it to us, is because we grew up in a period when we drank a lot of soda. And his claim is that that pop or soda, whatever you may call it, causes.
You from Chicago?
Yeah, I am. Causes kidney stone.
Oxalates. So coffee, the browner sodas. Yeah, teas.
Really?
There's some theory that affects it, yes. Certain kinds of stones, anyway, the calcium oxalate stones.
So what do you just drink a lot of water?
Drink a lot of water. Don't drink so much of that brown stuff.
Yeah, I like the brown stuff,
chocolate,
though.
Even, sometimes.
What about aspartame, by the way? There's this big movement now that aspartame is causing brain tumors, and it's highly addictive.
No way.
Really?
We'll switch over to Splenda, then.
Well, it's just strange that it's so common now. It's in, you know, and like even OBGYNs tell people that are pregnant, you know, don't chew sugarless gum because it has aspartame and that's a bad idea.
But we don't know. That's
because we don't know.
Yeah, when it comes, that's a delicate situation when somebody's inside you developing, and the potential for the slightest influence to creating a genetic trajectory that's bad is easy. I mean, you shouldn't take you should take anything.
So you have no problem with aspartame. I've been on this kick now.
I'm a Splenda guy. I like Splenda, so why don't I just go with that? It's fine. So,
sure, until we find out something little about that, right?
I don't think so. I mean, you know, listen, think how litigious this society is. If there was really evidence that somebody was harmed by it, it'd be the hugest class action suit you've ever seen.
Sure, but you know what they say. They say that, you know, the aspartame was pushed through by Rumsfeld because he was the chairman of this company.
Whatever, there would be huge lawsuits. Right. Are you kidding? These attorneys, they can make money off of something that's hurting people, even when it's not hurting people.
So prevalent, too.
Oh, my God. They'd go crazy with it instantly. But, you know, there's no evidence.
The supermodels, they love the Diet Coke. And they're crazy.
They don't have brain tumors.
Well, they may.
No, brain tumors.
All right. So, not bad.
Let's take line two. Andrew 30. It's good. It's fun as a way to go anyway. Okay. Andrew 30. Line two.
I seen on the news the other day that Mike Tyson's supposed to be making a porn with Jamie Jansen. You hear anything about that? Or what's the name?
What?
Well, it's not that he's going to be making a porn with Jenna Jameson. Apparently, Mike Tyson has considerable amount of debt, and he's trying to come up with creative ways to get rid of that debt.
Oh, how funny.
It's one of the reasons he fought his last fight, and he essentially quit.
Where did it come from, that debt?
It came from him. His suggestion is that he could be, well, Mike Tyson suggested he could be a major porn star, which I find terrifying. I can't imagine what those porns would be like.
Wow.
I imagine they'd be a little violent, a little scary.
And did Jenna sign on to this?
No, I think he threw it out there because they did something together once, or they did a promotion together, and they were in the same place, so he feels like he has this connection with her, and he suggested that through her production company, he could become a major male porn star. Not like gay porn, but he could become a porn star.
Well, what I think was that Jameson's attorneys or whatever contacted him.
I believe it was the other way around. That's what that's the story that I read.
No way. Why would she do that?
Yeah, I think anyone that has a history of, you know, sexual assault would probably, you wouldn't want to be affiliated with them in your production company.
She's already so huge.
Yeah, it's the last thing that she needs.
Yeah.
Unless you would just assume that the curiosity of it would sell a ton of copies and make a lot of money.
We've known her for a while on the show, and the last time she showed up, she had like a 5-carat canary yellow diamond on, and she came with multiple security guards in her Lamborghini. I mean, it's crazy what she's doing now.
The porn, man. Isn't it crazy how big? I mean, when I was a kid, like, we had Wii Magazine, and these pornos were just, there's like Ass Train to Moscow or something. It was just terrible.
Well, first of all, they were film.
Right, they were film.
There wasn't even video. And as Adam said, we'd stare at the box covers of rafts and things. That's our, you know, models on the cover of swimsuit. Because that was it. That was far.
Our big thing was, do you remember the early phases of cable TV? And the way it used to happen is that you as a child would spend hours figuring out what buttons to hold at the same time and where to have the lever in the exact place that thing would just descramble.
For a millisecond,
yes,
by the way.
And it was just jackpot. It's like, oh, it's the greatest. I saw the Happy Hooker Goes to Hollywood for 3 seconds. It was just this watershed moment in your life.
Once again, men. Yes?
Yes.
Pathetic.
Hours upon hours.
Under the influence of a drug.
Love porn and sex.
Men are under the influence of a drug. They can't help it. That drug is testosterone. It screws their head up for about 20 years.
You are correct.
And I don't know why God set it up that men and women should be at their most different during their prime reproductive years, but there you go. So we meet again around 45. Men's testosterone drop off. Women's come up a little bit. Men lose the will to live
and buy sports cars and watch a lot of sports.
Yeah, have a good time.
Yeah.
All right, Money from the Morning Show is here. On his farewell tour, he's leaving us to go to the Lakers radio broadcast team. He's been here for 11 years, music director recently. We've known him forever on this program because he brought bands through for many years. Give a couple of those bands again.
Geez, let's see, Jimmy Eat World.
You brought Jimmy Eat World.
I brought Jimmy Eat World. Yeah, very good friends of mine.
Can't
probably my my favorite band I've ever worked with.
They're great guys.
Bleed American right there. Yeah. The nicest guys, family guys. Yeah. It's funny, you know, that you go out with a lot of these bands, and a lot of them have personality quirks, and they may not be pleasant to be around.
Or
I've been out with the bands where I'm the ass wrangler, and I have to go find the hot girls and bring them back to the band, the bus, and that's always a little uncomfortable. But they are just, hey, dude, let's go out and have a drink and hang out and shoot it for a little bit. And it's they're wonderful guys. So Jimmy Eat World, Nelly Furtado, I believe I brought to you,
nice,
who's a wonderful young girl. AFI and Orbital and Echo and the Bunnymen I brought to you, who were
Echo and the Bunnymen,
a nightmare.
Uh-oh.
Oh, man. Just, you know, they were a band that was very big at one point, and I got them on their comeback tour. And that's always a tough one, man, because the bands want to still be recognized as what they were, and they got to work it, and they don't like working it, so it's never really pleasant being the guy that's telling them to work it.
We're taking your calls at 1-800-LOVE-191, and we will return after this.
Hello, who's this?
This is Loveline.
1-800-LOVE-191. Loveline will be right back.
Right, this Money's band, Jimmy Eat World. And Adam always says this is his theme song. When he walks into a bar, this is what the women hear and see.
In their heads.
Well, it's actually in his head,
right?
This song. He's got the glasses, you know, pulled up over his head. Slings back the members-only jacket over his shoulder.
Oh, yeah,
And when the women see him come across the room, they usually hear and see something a little different.
He's like Johnny Lawrence from the Cobra Kai.
Here's what they hear. Yeah, I think that's more like it.
Is that Bullwinkle? That sounds like Bullwinkle, I think.
Yeah, that's Corolla walking across
the bar. Kids don't appreciate the music like they used to, I think. I really believe that. Well, I just think the connection, you know, like I think we all, you know, and I'm not that old, but we all have connection. Like, oh, I remember when I had sex the first time. This is the song that I set it up with, man. This was my closer right here.
They don't do that now, you don't think?
I don't think so.
They have too much diversity.
Exactly. Yeah. I don't think there's that connection to that one single song.
I can remember at like 14, 15, sitting and listening to the same album or the same song for hours.
Right.
So the idea of an iPod with 3,000 songs on it, like,
yeah.
I don't know what, I guess I would do that. Yeah, you wouldn't get so attached to the one.
Yeah, you'd get an album and you would listen to it forward and backward. You would listen to all 12 songs
over and over again.
Yeah. You'd memorize them. You'd go, this is the best album ever. It's Kiss Alive 2. It's the greatest. And now it's just one, what's next? What's next?
We're going to talk to Lydia on line 2. She's 29. Lydia?
Hi.
Hey, what's up?
First off, I wanted to say you guys are awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I had a question, actually.
Yeah.
The question I had is, when me and my boyfriend are having sex sometimes, it's very strange because sometimes the sex is really awesome. Penetration's good. And then there's other times when we're actually having sex and it's very, very painful for me. And he actually gets cut, believe it or not.
Is that because, you turn your radio off, please. Is that because you are going on for a long time?
No. Not at all. I mean, no. We can.
Why don't you stop when it's painful?
What's that?
Why don't you stop when it's painful?
Oh, believe me, I do. But then,
so
it's like, when we get start, you know, and then we'll, like, okay, let's try it a different way or something, and then we'll start having sex again, and it's like, he can, you know, have an orgasm, but he'll pull it out, and it'll be all, like, he'll have, like, little cuts and stuff on him. I'm wondering what...
You know, I don't understand cuts. I
think she's talking about herpes, frankly. Because
no.
Yes. Why not?
I've been tested for all that, and I don't have anything like that.
What do you think? There is no real good test for herpes. What do you think herpes would look like?
Well, they're like little lesions.
They look like little cuts, oftentimes.
Right.
Yeah, like you're describing.
But, I mean, it's not all the time that happens, but it's like when we're having sex.
It's like when you're having an outbreak.
Sometimes it's okay. You have the outbreak. It's not okay.
It hurts. And you would have people tend to have outbreaks simultaneously. When one person is producing the virus, it triggers it in the other. And that's why it would hurt you.
Give me the numbers on herpes. Isn't herpes
very common?
Right,
exceedingly common. And most people that have it don't know they have it. They don't really. It's such a mild condition. It's like what she's describing, and they just like they don't. No, I thought I just tore my penis. I thought I just got some irritation. I thought I soaped up. They have all kinds of reasons and rationalizations for it, but it's often herpes.
Have you seen these?
So the only way, Lydia, that you could really nail this down is to take him to a doctor when he has those cuts. And or when you're having the pain to go have a pelvic exam, they'd have to do something called a viral culture to know whether or not this is herpes or not. And that test is not done unless you specifically request that test.
Okay. Because I didn't know if it was maybe caused from my pelvis or...
It sounds like there's something inflammation and it's occurring simultaneously in both of you. And the most common thing would be herpes.
Oh, my gosh.
And a lot of people don't know that.
Why not me messing around?
Well, maybe it came from somebody's mouth. You know, it gets transmitted down there that way sometimes. Somebody has a cold sore and they don't really think about it and they have oral sex and pow, then now you've got it.
That'll give you the same herpes.
Same herpes.
Wow.
Herpes is herpes is herpes. It's just more common and, you know.
Have you seen the lawsuits that are going around like in the NFL?
No.
The big quarterback for the Atlanta Falcons, Michael Vick, is in a lawsuit because a girl is alleging that he gave her herpes.
And he
knowingly.
He didn't tell her.
This is the best part of it, though. She's suing him and his alias because he used an alias when he checked into the hotel.
Mexico.
You know what his alias was?
What?
Ron Mexico.
Oh, my God.
Isn't that the best alias ever?
But I mean, is she get two suits?
I have no idea, but it leaked that this man's alias is Ron Mexico, like the funniest thing in the sports world now. That of all the aliases to lose.
Well, you wonder how these guys, if they did have herpes, how they could be assured that even when they tell the girl up front, the girl would not claim that he didn't. It would be one word against the other.
I have having been done sports for as long as I have. I have a number of connections in the different sports, and they tell me that these players, there are the same group of women in every city that sleep with all these different players, and it's just this very incestuous relationship between them and their groupies.
So they all have herpes everywhere.
That they all have herpes.
I mean, it makes sense. I mean, it's such a common thing. It's so contagious. If people are having multiple sexual partners, they're going to get this. They're all going to have wart virus for sure. And they got to take care of.
And they just don't wrap it, which blows my mind.
Even with a condom, the herpes can.
Oh, really?
That's hard when it contains. If somebody has an outbreak and you have sex even with a condom, you're going to get something somewhere probably.
That's terrible because, I'm pretty much a one-woman man.
It's fine. Well, it doesn't mean anything. Just get it checked out. You shouldn't. We're speculating over the radio. Of course, I don't know for sure what you have. I don't know either of you. Go get it checked out, Sam. Yeah,
break the news to your man gently. Tell him he has the same thing as some professional athletes.
Money, this He'll is about brings that. To close your
Come
farewell
on.
Tour. We got to take another break.
And that's it.
It just flashed by. This is it. This is the thing you've looked forward to for all these 11 years. Lo, these many years that you've been working at K-Rock, who knew that you'd one day spend a quick 2 hours on the
I know. I mean, this is so much better than the morning show. It's just 5 hours of pain.
All right, we're going to return in just a second.
If you need help,
call Loveline, 1-800-LOVE-191.
Well, there you go, Money. Your virgin and your terminal experience on Loveline.
Yeah. Well, maybe not. Who knows? Maybe one day I'll be a big sports celebrity and I can come back and tell my crab story. So it's fantastic.
It was a great story. I'm sorry we missed it. I'll tell it for hours afterwards. I'll tell it tomorrow.
There we go. You can make it your own. You can have it.
Speaking of tomorrow, Jimmy Kimmel and Sarah Silverman in here tomorrow night. And Money, we wish you the best.
Thank you very much.
Sounds like a dream come true job. It'll be a great thing.
It is. The Lakers will be fun.
And it will be good. And
thank you for having me.
Our pleasure. And tomorrow night, again, Jimmy Kimmel and Sarah Silverman, a couple bits of business here. Adam has asked me to remind people that if you want to be in the audience for his show, it's www.1iota.com or 866-HEY-ADAM. I also have Discover
Health
Channel.
Would he be doing that for you, buddy? Come on.
No, not a chance. Not a chance.
But you're a good guy.
Thank you.
You rise above.
And so I'll promote my own thing here for a second. Discover Health Channel, Strictly Sex, on right now. Please check that out. And in the meantime, I'll see you guys tomorrow night. And this is Dr. Drew on behalf of Adam Carolla saying mahalo.
That's terrible. I'm pretty much a one-woman man.
This has been Loveline. Loveline. The opinions expressed in this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Annie Gold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.